Okay, we're gonna start. First thing is, Thursday is going to be an open lab for the day from 9:30 to 5, so that you can come and get caught up, okay? I try to schedule a couple of those in every semester, just to give you a chance to get caught up. So if you're not caught up, please come. And if you're not caught up, this is the time to put the final push on, because the end is in sight. Okay, so let me look at the calendar with you. We've got this week, and I'm going to do some visual basic here. Then we have the 21st, we'll have an open lab. We'll do a little more visual basic on the 26th. And obviously the 28th is off. Okay? So then we get into December, and we have basically this week that we will finish up visual basic. The week before finals, I make an entire week of open lab, assuming that life goes well, i.e. that I don't get sick and miss this week, and therefore you end then, that is an open lab. Or that we get a great big blizzard in the beginning of December or something like that. But the plan is that we will finish up Visual Basic that week. This week will be an open lab. Okay, you'll be getting a Visual Basic assignment, but you can do that and get caught up. Your final, I believe, is on the 17th. It might be the 19th. I don't remember. Does anybody check? It's either Tuesday or Thursday that week, and I believe it's the 17th. Okay? So, we have about 4 more days of classes and 3 days of open labs, basically, is what I think it works out to be. Your final is, we'll say, on the 17th. I will post it 1 week ahead, so that week of open labs, it will be posted on the 10th, and you have it for 1 week, okay? The final is going to take you more than 2 hours to do. It's going to take you considerably more than 2 hours to do. But I figure I get the study time, because you're getting an open notes, open book, take-home exam. So you can study for it while you're taking it. So those count as study hours. So I kind of grab your study hours and say, you can use those to take the final, because the final is basically covering everything that we've had this semester. So in other words, I would start studying for the final when you get the final, and I'd study for the problems that you're doing. You look up and figure out how to do the problems that you have to do. And in doing that, you'll end up reviewing the entire semester. Yeah?
Would the final be more like a test with questions, or is it going to be more of a project?
Mix and match.
Okay.
And what I do also is I have some of the questions are required and others are optional to get points. So let's say, and I don't remember what I'm going to do this sometime, but let's say that the required points are 60%, then there will be a series of other questions that you can pick and choose to get up to 100. And so you can pick and choose the ones you want, and actually I say you can go to 110 and get extra credit. So you can do that on the final. You can pick and choose for about half, a little less than half the final. Okay, so some questions are required, some questions are optional. But you have to do some optional to get the points, or you'd be sitting there with a 60. Yeah.
But it is going to be done here.
No, it's yours. I posted a week ahead of time, it's open notes, open book at home. Half this class isn't in the classroom.
Okay.
Okay, of the people taking CIS 120, there's 60 or 70 people taking it. You all are only part of the population. It doesn't seem fair for the people that are taking it online to be able to have an online final and you to have an in-class final. So I basically make it an online final for everybody.
I'm just worried because at 2 o'clock, I have in New Bedford, Seal is having a networking same.
Okay. So no, no. It has to be
there.
Sent to me via email.
Okay.
I'm not planning to be on campus.
Great, great.
No. I am going to be at home correcting all of the stuff you sent me. So I'm going to be at home, and you're going to be at home, and you're going to send it to me. And then you have a week to do it. So I will post it on the 10th if it is due the 17th, and you have a week to do it. Yeah.
So is there a timer on it, or?
No.
So we have, good.
You can spend 50 hours on it if you want to.
Okay? That's what I'll be.
No, you can spend as long as you want it. Now keep in mind that your final is 10% of your grade. So we're not talking about a make it or break it thing with your final. It's 10% of your grade. You know, as far as I'm concerned, homework is a large part of your grade. It's 80% of your grade, okay? And 10% is being responsible and all that good stuff. So everybody that passes in the vast majority of their homework in the next 2 weeks is going to lose some of those 10 points for being responsible, okay? So that's where it breaks down, but your final is only 10% of your grade, okay? So if you don't do the final, you've dropped an entire grade, but that's all you've done. So if you mess up the final, you can do it that way too, okay? Questions? So we're going to work on Visual Basic today. We're going to work on Visual Basic next Tuesday. But this Thursday, I essentially evaluated everything this weekend as to whether I was going to make it all right. And we're in good shape. So this Thursday is a lab that you can come in and work to get caught up on stuff. Okay. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go back over user input. The ones that I'm going to look at this time are user input, loops while, and under this one there is something called if file or something like that under that one. So if you haven't downloaded them, you can download them. I strongly suggest you download all of these and take a look at them. Okay, so I have mine downloaded, and so I'm going into the drive where I have them, which is the F drive, VB, and I'm going to click on user input. And then when I click on the one that says the 10, and this is the SLN, the solution, if I click on that, it opens Visual Basic and opens the program. Okay, so that has now opened Visual Basic and opened the program. Okay, so I have defined here three memory variables, and I define them all as decimal so that I'm not limited to integer. I define them all as decimal. They are defined within the subroutine, so they are local to the subroutine, but there's only one subroutine, so that's fine. If I had defined them outside the subroutine, right under the word class, then they would have become global. And if I had a second subroutine, they would be available to the second subroutine. But I only have one subroutine. I define them all in the subroutine, so they are local. If I put up another subroutine, it will not have access to them. If I want it to have access to them, then I either have to define them again in the subroutine, or I put them up right under class, and then they become global, which means they're visible to all subroutines. So now I'm doing a pop-up box where I ask for input. And the input that is typed in gets stored in work hours. Then I put up another pop-up, and the input that gets put in is put into work paper hour. then I multiply those together and put them into the other work area called work gross pay. Now I want to take and put work gross pay out on the form, so I have to assign it to a text box on the form. And in the process, I decided I would like to format it as currency. So I put in the format currency, and it will turn it into currency, meaning it will give it to me with a dollar sign, a comma, a .00, all that kind of stuff. So if I run this, and I put in Ann, and then I click here, because there's nothing else that it wants. So I'm going to click here, and it says end of the hours worked, and I put in 40. And then it says end of the pay per hour, I put in 50. And then I click OK. And it comes out and gives me the 2,000 formatted as currency. If I hadn't formatted as currency, it would just have said 2,000. It wouldn't have the dollar sign, the comma, and the .00 in it. Okay? So that's how it functions. Those are work areas. I set them up. I can do my calculations in them. They are numeric work areas, so I don't run into the text versus number problem because I set them up as numeric work areas. And so I take in the input with the input boxes, do the calculation, and put them out. Okay? Questions? Okay. Then I'm going to move on to the next one, which is loops. So I'm going to close this, and I'm going to say File, Close Solution. And it comes up with this screen. It's assuming that you want to do something else. So I'm going to click on Open a Project or Solution. And then I'm going to go to where I have them stored, which is on my F drive in a folder called VB. And I have them all there and all, I've extracted everything, so I've got them in its entirety. And I am going to look at loops while. So I'm clicking on loops while. And then I've got the one with the SLN, in the SLN, which is the 10 there. Either way, if you don't see the SLN, then you're looking for the little 10 up there in the image, in the icon. Okay? So I click on that, and it opens this. So we have talked about the fact that a program has to be able to support sequence, selection, and looping. So we've looked at sequence, one instruction after another is in sequence. We've looked at if statements, and we're going to look at them some more. And these are loops. So I've basically got three different buttons here. And each of the buttons is going to perform a different loop. Okay, so I've got, let's just look at it as it runs for a minute. I said, how many times do I want to do the loop? So let's pick 5. And the amount that I want to add is 12. All I'm doing inside these loops is taking the amount I want to add and adding it 5 times. Okay, not exactly exciting code. And so if I click on process, it tells me 60. Because adding 12 5 times gives me 60. So it gives me 60. Okay, so I've got 3 different loops. The first one is the while loop. The second one is an interior. tilt loop, and the third one is a for loop. And so I've got three different loops set up here that I can handle these three different ways. And they would all give me the same answer, okay? So I started out, and this time I defined my work areas in right under class, which means they're global, which means that all of the routines can see those work areas. So I define work count as 1, work total as 0. It can see work total and work count here, here, and here, as it can see it in all places because it's defined as global. Okay, so then I start and I have button process dot click. And that's where I actually put a while loop. So the structure of the while loop is do while, and then I put the condition. And then I end it with a loop. Okay, now in JavaScript, you enclose what you wanted to have in the loop in curly braces. And those curly braces told you where the loop code began and where the loop code ended. Here, we're not using curly braces, something I am thankful for, because I mess up curly braces all the time, not getting the right number. So, I have the do while and the loop ends it, and so all the code in between those two is part of the loop, okay? It's what I will do. The word loop is like the closing of the curly brace. It tells you that that's the end of the code. So my thing here is do while word count is less than or equal to text how many. Okay, so I've got my text box over here called text how many. And I've got another text box called text amount. And another text box called, I think it's called text total. Is it? No, it's called text result. Okay. This box is called text result. So I start out and I'm saying do while word count is less than or equal to, and then I converted text how many dot text to an integer. Okay, because everything on the screen, on the form, is considered to be string or text. And so lots of times you can get away without converting things, but it's always safest to convert, okay? So this time I converted it and said text how many dot text and converted it to an integer. And I'm going to compare, okay? The biggest problem comes in not converting, comes if there two things you're comparing are a different length as opposed to the same length. Because as I mentioned before, if I compare 50 to 12, okay, it's going to compare 5 to 1 and 0 to 2, and it's going to just do fine. But if I compare 5 to 12, it compares the 1 and the 5. The 5 is bigger, and so it comes back and says that the 5 is bigger than 12. Okay, because it is comparing the first digit to the first digit, and 5 is greater than 1. This is for text or string. If I convert it to numbers, it goes over against the next wall, gets handled by as a number, and it understands that you don't compare just the first character. Okay, it understands that you use number rules to compare the characters. Okay, so therefore, converting things to integer means that I will get a cleaner comparison. So 50 versus 12 would work just fine, but 5 versus 12 didn't. Oh, wouldn't. Okay, so, and I just didn't have to use 5 and 12, by the way. I just saw them, I guess. So So now I'm saying do while work count is less than or equal to. I go inside, I add text amount to the work total and add one to count. And then I loop back. And is work count less than or equal to? And then I go in if it is, and I keep doing it until finally work count gets up to 6. And when work count gets up to 6, it's no longer less than or equal to the 5 that I entered in. And so I will stop the loop. So it did it at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. When I got to 6, it was all done. Okay. So when work count equals 6, I am going to get out of here and it will be done. Okay, so then I come down and the next one, the other loop, is a do until. Okay, and so on the do until, I'm saying do the contents of the loop until work count is greater than work count, I mean, than how many? Okay, text how many. So until it is greater than that. Now notice the difference between the while and the until. The while says do it while count is less than the number on the box. Until said, do it until the count is greater. Okay, so the while is checking what keeps me in. And the until checks to get out. So the until says, do this until work count is greater than. Until work count is greater than. When work count is greater, that tells me to get out. The while says, do it while work count is less than. So as long as it's less than, I'm staying in. So that's emphasizing what I need to stay in. I'm going to stay in while the work count is less than or equal to. The until is emphasizing what gets me out. I'm going to get out when the work count becomes greater than. That's time to get out. And so I'm looking at different things, and sometimes one of them makes more sense to me than another when I'm writing code. And so I choose appropriately. Okay. The other thing is both the while and the until can have the test before or the test afterward. But these two tend to be the way people do it, and so I've left them. I've just used those two. But you can't have them either way. Okay, so now tell me what happens if I put in a 0. Okay, so I'm going to get out of that writing. And I'm going to stop this and run it again. And I'm going to put in a 0 for how many times. And I will still say I want to add 1, 2. And I say process, and it gives me 0. So what happened there? If you look at the while, I put in word count as 0. I put in word count as 1, because I defined it as 1 up there. So I'm saying, well, 1 is less than or equal to 0. Well, 1 isn't less than or equal to 0, so it never enters the loop. Okay, it doesn't go into the loop. Because word count, 1 is never less than or equal to 0. Okay, so it doesn't go in. Now, if I do the same thing, only this time I hit the until, what am I going to get, do you think?
It's going to do it once.
Yes.
It always goes in.
It's always going to do it, so it's going to do it once. So I hit that, and it does it once. because it goes in, there's no checking, it goes in, it adds one to work count, it adds to total, and then it says loop until work count is greater than how many, okay? Well, work count is automatically greater than how many as long as it doesn't have a negative number in it. And so it will then get out. But it does it once because the check is at the bottom. Okay, if the check was at the top, then it would do the checking before it went in the loop. But the check is at the bottom, so it checks after it goes in the loop. Yeah.
I missed how you made it execute that second, the do loop until.
I hit the until button. Notice I have three buttons up here. I have process, which happens to be the while. I probably should have written while on that, but it's the while. I have the until, and I have the for.
Okay.
So those execute each of the things. Okay, and then I have the for. Actually, let me just get out. Okay, then I have the for loop. And the for loop puts everything inside one statement. So I have my stat, which is for word count equal one. That's my stat. Two, and I'm going from one to text how many. So that's my condition, the end. My condition or my end is when word count, I'm going from one up to text how many. And so when I get to text how many, I'm going to get out. So it basically checks and sees if I've reached text how many. So it's doing the condition of checking to see if I've reached text how many. And then the step is the increment. So I add one to word count every time I go through, because I'm always working this full word count, start it at one, end it when it hits text how many, and every time go up by one. If I had set step two, then I would be having word count go 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, whatever. Okay? So if I have step two, it counts by twos. If I have step one, it counts by ones. Step three, it's going to count by threes. So step one is the same as saying word count equals word count plus one. Step two would be the same as saying word count equals word count plus two. So every time we add two, and that would be step two. Okay, so I need three things in a loop. I need the starting point, I need the condition to get me out, and I need something to change. So I put all of them in the for statement, if I have a for statement. So I don't have to have anything about adding the word count, because it does that with the step one. The for has a next. Okay, so I have the next tells it that it's done with that code. Okay? So any code between the for and the next is executed every time I execute the loop. Yes, no, maybe? Questions? Okay, now we're going to try something. So I'm getting out of here, and I'm going to run this again, and I am starting out, and I'm going to say I want to do it five times, I'm adding 12, and I want to use the while loop, so it comes up with 60, okay, so the while loop comes up with 60. So then I decide, okay, now I'd like to do the until loop. Okay? So I'm going to click on, instead of restarting, I'm just going to click on the until loop. And that's what happens. Why? Why did I get 72 there?
8 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, add 12 on top of 16.
Right, so some reason is what I'm looking for.
Did it one more time.
Right, so why? Why did it do it one more time? Yeah.
Because until loops always in process once.
Yes, but why didn't it process more? What stopped it from doing the full five times? In other words, you're right, but that's not a complete.
The result stopped.
Pardon?
The result itself, 5 times 12 is 60, and at the end of the loop, you checked for that, right? That it checked.
Right, right. So, yeah, that putting those together is pretty much, okay, so at this point, when I left here, I had word count up to 6, because I'd added one to it, and I had work total at 60. So that's what happened when I left, okay, when I left this. I have work count at 6 and work total at 60. Okay? So then I hit the until and it said, okay, take work total and add the amount to it. So I added 12 to it and got it up to 72. And I added to this and got it up to 7. And then it came down and is work count greater than how many? Yes, it is. So it didn't do it again, okay? But the reason it added and got the 72 is because the 60 was still there, okay? So how can I fix this program so that it will work?
You reset the values.
That's right, I gotta reset the values. Okay, because when I stopped the program, and I very carefully, when I was showing you the different things, I stopped the program and restarted it. And when I stopped and restarted, it set work count to 1 and work total to 0, because I was starting it over again. But then when I did it by not starting it over, but by just keeping what was there and clicking on the next, it did exactly what I told it to do, but I messed up, okay? Now, in reality, you wouldn't have a program that does the same thing 3 times using 3 different loops. So I was probably, in reality, okay to start things at the top. But if I want this to work, then I need to come over here and say, okay, set work count back equal to 1, that's a W sort of, and set work total equal to 0, and do that right at the very beginning of the subroutine before you go into, before you start the loop. Whenever you're starting something, it's always a good idea, in my opinion, to set the variable, especially, right before you do the loop. And here I was counting on the global setting that I'd done, and I did a global setting mainly because I wanted it for all 3 routines. But it would have been better to do the establishing right at the beginning, right before the loop, yeah.
So if you, instead of going to start, you do the process again, will you get some strange...
Okay, let's take a... Let me just take a picture of that. And get rid of the ink. And so now you want me to do process again.
Yes.
Doesn't do anything. So why doing process? Why did doing process not do anything? because when process came in, it immediately said, is word count less than or equal to? No, we had worked out up to 7 at this point, and 7 is not less than or equal to 5. So it didn't go in. If I did the for loop, what's the for loop going to do? If at this point I hit the for loop, what's it going to do?
Hopefully it's not going to do it.
If I hit the for loop, I'm sorry, I'm not hitting the for loop. It would help if I hit the for loop when I said that. Okay. So I am now getting it, and it went through, okay, but 60, work he total.
He did the whole thing.
It did the whole thing. And it reset work count at 1 so that it did it the full 5 times. But I hadn't changed work total. And so work total stayed the same because it was global. Okay, I had defined it globally, which means all the routines are using it, which means it already had 72 in it. And so when I add the 60 more from the for loop, I'm now up to 132. Okay, so I haven't changed. Yeah.
But you did change the counter right to 1.
But I changed the counter because the for loop does that.
Okay.
The for loop set it.
Right.
So the for loop set the counter. So in the for loop, I should have set the total, but I didn't have to set the counter because it is using the counter as its control. So if I hit the for loop again, what's it going to be?
Another 60.
Another 60. So it's now up to 192. Okay, because I hit the for loop again, and that went through it just fine, 5 times, and came up with 60 and added the 60 in. So it'll keep going forever on this. And if I do the until again, what's it going to do?
12.
It's going to add 12. Okay. So if I do the until again, it goes up to 204. Okay. So just watching, you know, what this does. When I first wrote it, I wasn't thinking about the fact that I would have to be hitting the different routines. I was thinking of it illustrates one, and any one of these is fine all by itself. It's just that. And if you had something double, it, you know, it can grow too. So, but then I decided I was going to leave it because it really makes a lot of good points as to why you have to set things and where you have to set things. So it kind of makes a lot of good points. Okay, questions? Okay, take a minute, bring up one of the programs that you have and take a few minutes and write a loop. Just do a loop. I don't care what it does. It can do something like what I just did here, or you can do something. But just practice, just go in and try writing a loop, and we're going to give you 5 or 6, you know, 5 or 10 minutes at most. But go in and try to write a loop into a program that you already have. So that means you're going to have to put a button on the form. So go in and put a button on the form. And when you click that button, have it do a loop. Okay? So put a button on the form like I did with these 3 buttons. You can use this if you want to, and add something, add your own loop to it, or you can use one of yours. But I just want you to try doing a loop. And if you need questions, that's what Joe and I are here for. I missed you the last class. Actually, it's the next problem that I'm going to do that I missed you on. So again, remember to make a button, because you want to do the loop based on a click event. Click here and do this loop. So again, on the form, make a button, and then have click on the button, and it brings up the code in the back that says private sub and gives the button a name, the name you gave it, underscore click, meaning the click event, meaning this code will happen if you click here. And that's what you want. You want to put on a button, and like I did, I put on three buttons. When I named the button, I named it button and tail. When I double click on that button, it made a private routine for button and tail. And I can put the code in that. If you're having trouble figuring out what to do, please ask. Joe's getting too much homework time. To do anything, you can just count. It can just say hello 10 times, put in there, or, you know.
Crystal.
Did yours crash?
I think so.
Goody, goody, goody.
It's like not moving, and so I'm just going to be prepared to get off this one. So I'm guessing that's what it means.
Yeah. It's a lot better since they fixed it, but it's not
perfect.
Not perfect. I had you and somebody in the last class. I'm going to move on to another experiment in a few minutes, so try putting the loop together. I don't want this, by the way. This is just something for you to play with.
With the next thing or this thing?
Either of them.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next thing and hope that you've got a loop that's working. So I'm going to close this, and this time I'm going to go in, and where it says VBF11 CIS120, CIS120, I want to use a program that's under that. Okay, so I'm going to Visual Studio and saying open a project or solution. And I am going into the VBF111. And underneath it, I have two programs. One called First If, and that's the one I want. Okay, so if you haven't, you have to now take First If and extract from it. And this is what I end up with. Okay, so these are two basic if statements. And the first one is basically saying dim work diff as an integer. So it's dim work diff. It knows about it, but the routine down here would not know about it, because it has been defined locally, okay? So then I said, okay, workdiff equals textbudget.text minus textspent.text. So I'm subtracting the spent from the budget. And then I said, if the difference is greater than 1,000, do one thing, otherwise do something else. Notice the ampersand there. It can be used for concatenate. So I'm starting out, and I am not even going to be checking the
department, but I'll put in department 12. And then I'll put in 5,000 as the budget and 2,500 or 3,500 as what I've spent. And then I'm going to click on check, and it comes back and it tells me 1,500 is what you have to spend, because it did the subtract. 3,500 from 5,000 is 1,500. So work diff is 1,500. And then it said if 1,500 is greater than 1,000, and it is. So I had it print out the 1,500 concatenated with is what you have spent. Okay? So that's telling me that I have spent, or actually I should have written something different there. It's what you have left. Duh. Okay. I entered in spent. I did the subtraction and say this is what you spent. A little common sense there would help. This is what you have left.
That's 1,500 is what you have to spend.
That's right, have to spend.
Yes, you said.
Oh, you're right. I just can't read. I knew I did something stupid. It was I can't read. Okay, so it's all right. Ah, isn't that nice? Okay, so else I would put out a different message. Thank you for correcting my reading. So if I make this 4,500, and click on check, it comes back and it says you have 1,000 or less to spend. Okay? So those are the two things. And I'm not sure I took a picture of the other one, so I'm going to put it back in. Okay, so the next one I got into is a if within an if. So on this one, I'm asking, is the department CI? And if it is, then I am asking, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if it is, then this will stay the same. Okay, the budget will stay the same. If it is not greater than 5,000, then I can request an increase. Okay, so if it's not greater than 5,000, I can request an increase. And if it's not CI, I can put out the message that says not CI and move on. So I'm asking the question and saying, if department is CI, then I'm asking an embedded question underneath it. Is the budget greater than 5,000 or 5,000? Then it's going to be the same. Otherwise, I get an increase. Okay? If it's not CI, then I put in the message that says not CI. Okay, so I've got a compound if going on here, an if within an if. So I could write this as a compound if I got the same message on both of the no's, but I don't have the same message. So I have to write this as a single if. And notice how it nicely lines up. The if, the else, and the end if all very nicely line up. Okay, because it indents for you, because it knows what you should do. And so it does that. Sometimes Microsoft's knowing what you should do is irritating. Sometimes it's helpful. This is one case where it's helpful. Okay, so it's going in and doing that. Okay, so now what I want you to do is to write a program Or actually, let's run this for just a minute, and then I'll run it, because I didn't run this one. Okay, so if I put in 12 and 5, 6,000, and 2,000, what is it going to come back with? I put in 12, 6,000, 2,000, what is it going to come back with? Not CI, because I put in the department as 12, and the department should have been CI for me to get other messages. Okay, so now I'm putting in CI, which one am I going to get now? Okay, I've got CI now, which message am I going to get?
Budget will not change.
That's right. So I will put in and click on another check, and it comes back with budget will not change. And if I put in 600 instead, what's it going to come back with?
Increase of 10%.
Yes. Okay. So that's increase 10%. So now what I want to do is have you write one for, I want the department to be CI and either the budget greater than 10,000 or spent greater than the budget. Okay. So I want you to write one where you say the department CI and either the budget is greater than 10,000 or spent is greater than budget. Okay, now, so what you're going to do is I would stay in this program and just stay with this program because I've got everything set up for you. Make another button on the front. Double-click on the button and it will bring up the subroutine and add in the code for this. Okay. And if you want to, you can try doing it with both compound and simple ifs.
Is there any answer to that? Or?
No, there's no answer at this point. You're going to do it.
I can make up the answer. Like if the.
Oh, right. You make up the answers. I think I called them.
Because I didn't understand what to do.
Call them okay or call okay. them problem or something like that.
Right.
Anything you want to do. You make up the, okay. what you want to say.
I can use your line for the answer, right?
Yeah, you can do any line you want. I just want the logic there. I don't care if you say right. jump five times as the result. Okay. So write the code for that. Okay, for no good reason, I'm writing okay and problem in my flowchart. Just to give it something to write. Whoops, I forgot one. Okay, there's the flowchart, if that will help you. This is your classic, one thing has to be true, and either of two other things. If I have the nose say different things, then I can't do a compound. So the nose have to be say the same thing in order for me to do a compound. Okay? So, having not CI for the CI works just fine if I'm not planning to do a compound, but if I want to do a compound, then I've got to have these two the same if I'm going to do a compound. These have to be the same if I'm going to do a compound. And you may find, especially in this one, when you're comparing the spent to the budget, if there's the wrong number of digits, it can be problematic. So it would be better to convert those to integer, or convert them to decimal, or something like that. If they have the same number of digits, then they tend to compare just fine. But if you're comparing 5,000 to, let's say, 10,000, you could end up with a problem if you leave them as text. So you should end up converting those to integer. So basically, you're going to have something on the order of this. Keep working on it, and I'm just going to stop writing. As I said, with any of these, I'm not putting it in because I don't, it's wrong. But when you're doing a comparison, it's good to convert them to integer or convert them to decimal to do the comparison. And I'm going to write this out. I told the other class I will write this out and put it up there. And when I do, I'll do the conversions. Okay, but I just don't have room when I'm sketching it out. This is the one that I definitely would make the conversion on. Got the else that goes with the CI. So that's sort of a sketch out of what it should be. As I said, I will write up the solution to it and post the solution tonight or tomorrow so that you can see it. Okay, because I'm not real sure I was looking at everything right. The one about the text spent and the text budget. This one I would do, think about doing the CINT2, okay? Because I'm comparing two fields that are coming in as text, and if they're a different number of characters, it's gonna be problematic. So I would do the convert to integer on those. Again, I can have not CI over here, or I can have problem. It doesn't matter because I have the simple ifs. But if I'm doing a compound if, then it starts to matter. Because with a compound if, I'm going to ask about if CI. And this is like an either this or this. Okay, so I'm going to say if I do a compound, if it is CI, so if text department dot text equals CI, and either by putting in a parenthesis, text spent dot text is greater, or text budget dot text is greater than 10,000, or text spent dot text is greater than budget text. If I then put out a message and then have an else, okay, I need to put out okay up here and problem down here, because if I don't, I can't have a compound. Both no's have to be the same if I'm going to have a compound. So I have to say if this, put out okay, else put out problem. Because if I don't have the same no, then I can't have a compound. And if you can make rhyme the reason out of what I've just written on the board, congratulations. You really are understanding this. Good luck, people at home. But I will write out the solution and post it so you can see an actual working, I'll add another button, in other words, to this problem, and then put it up there. Okay, we're done. Again, Thursday will be a open lab to get caught up. If you're behind, now is the time. You can still pull it out. If you wait too much longer, it's not pullable. So please start to try to do it. And come Thursday and try to do some if you can. Or if you work better at home, work at home. But you got to stop trying to pull it out if you're missing some things. On the average, every assignment counts around 4 points. It depends. Some count 5, some count 3, but they average at about 4 points. So if you're missing an assignment, it's 4 points subtracted from 100. And if you're missing 5 assignments, I've subtracted 20 points from 100. Because they run around 4 points. Okay, maybe 3, maybe 5, depends on what they are, but they run in that area. Okay.
Are we supposed to set up meetings if you are our advisor?
Yeah, either doing it online or on my door.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Didn't you get a message note from me?
I don't know.
You should have. I mean, I sent out a massive, I have 101 advisors.
Okay.
So they did not send a personal note.
If I'm in CIS transfer,
it could be me or it could be somebody else, but I think I've seen on my list.
Okay, well, I'll sign on my way out.
She signed on the door.
This thing ends. End if automatically for each one.
Yeah, you have to put an end if for each one.
No, the computer does. I mean the problem itself.
Yes.
So now I'm lost. Where do I put the problem one? Because now I don't know where to stack that one. Problem.
Okay, I've got 3 end ifs here. There's one. There's the other.
Yeah, 3 is the total. Correct. 1, 2, 3.
Came after, so it's down right here. And then an else, and then
yeah,
another.
Else with a problem result, where it's going to go?
With the problem result, wait a minute, which problem?
The one that's going to say problem.
Right here.
Okay, and he's in line with the all the way first one up to CI?
Yeah,
problem.
Yeah. This one's
I mean, I wrote it down, exactly, it's just the if computer didn't write down those end ifs, I can follow them. See,
right.
Even though it's doing it for me, makes
well,
it easier.
Well, as I said, I'm going to write this
makes
and look at it.
Because I don't know, I'm lost nowhere to put it.
No, right.
Okay.
Okay, that way, yeah.
Is this Thursday the lab or is it next Thursday?
This week.
All right.
Okay. Does that mean I don't see you?
Yeah.
Did they ever send the numbers for registration?
Say that again?
The codes for registration.
Yes, I've got them.
Oh.
You want it?
I need mine if you get a chance.
Yep. Remind me if I don't. It's in my office, so you can